Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Keep this frequency clear.
Here we go!
Are you ready?
Coming at you, Kratos. Coming at you. We're coming at you live and unedited from the main streets. But you actually home of the Amp Radio Studios in Danville, California. Kratos, we have the mics back up. We have everything, the echoing sound. Hopefully, we'll stay away from all all the bad karma that we've been getting with using a professional mic, right? And I don't mean Mike Hunt. No relation to the great Mark. Kratos, we're coming at you live and unedited from the mean streets of Danville, California for UFC Fight Night Lewis versus Hunt, also known as UFC Fight Night 110, of course, held in Auckland, New Zealand, the home of Lord of the Rings. Did you know that, Kratos?
Did indeed.
Yeah, with me as always, the yin to my yang, the Robin to my Batman, Grotius. Let's hit the music, bro. Boy, this is a flat. You know what? We're down a man, but I got to call Ryan. I don't know what's going on. Ready? Hit it.
Good morning, Tony. What is happening? How are you this morning?
No, what's up, huh?
No, that's only a Wednesday thing.
That's shout out to Marco and Pam.
That's
so
right.
Let's go in.
Knock my picks up edition.
Absolutely. And sometimes, of course, when Tony has a strep throat, it's a Prado slash Protease says primetime slash smack my picks up combo edition. Protease, here we go.
Feeling better, Tony?
Actually, I am. My voice is still kind of. I was speaking with Protease, and I said, "Hey, instead of sounding like the usual 65-year-old smoker that I sound, I now sound like an 85-year-old smoker." So that's good, right? Protease, going back to June of 2014. How do you like that for a blast in the past? That's the last time the UFC was in Auckland, New Zealand. And of course, this was supposed to be the night that Jose Benavidez, as Proteus is, the best looking couple in the UFC. I guess. Hang on. here's the right one for you, Prados. As Proteus once said on MMA Junkie Radio, Jose Benavidez, the best-looking couple in the UFC. Yeah, I don't know about that one, bro. All right. Prados, let's go into it, Prados. The night that was, of course, just hours before the event, of course, Gaethje pulled out of the fight against Kim due to illness, of course, prompting the cancellation of that fight. Going through the main card quickly, Hunt defeats Lewis via TKO in the fourth round, if you can believe that. Brunson defeats Dadbaugh Dan Kelly, KO in the first. Dan Hooker defeats Ross Pearson in front of his lovely wife in the second with a brutal knee. Ion Cutelaba defeated Frankenstein Enrique da Silva via TKO in 22 seconds. Prados, was that the time that you went to go grab a glass of water?
I think it was, because I remember nothing about this fight.
You know, like most people will probably not remember much from this card. Ben Wynn, of course, defeats Ben got the win. You like that, Prados?
Well, yeah, no? Fair.
Hold on, that one. Okay. Let me pronounce it the American way. Ben Nguyen defeats, of course, Tim Elliott via first round submission, rear naked choke, and Volkanovski defeated, of course, Hirota. Your boy, Proteus, as you like to say, Vince, hit it, Pro?
Vince, straight out of hell? I was zoning out. Oh, right.
Sorry.
Yeah. Straight out of hell, Pichel. I love that name. Way to go.
Yeah, defeated Damian Brown, Luke. Get ready for this one, Prados. Luke.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Is it Jumo? Is that how you pronounce it?
Your guess is as good as mine, sir.
All right. Jumo defeats Dominic Steele. John Moraga defeated, of course, the Mr. Tattoo, Ashkan. You know what? I'm gonna bomb at these.
Who the
Prados.
Fuck is that guy?
Right, and Zach Otto, of course, defeated. What is it?
I don't know. Mokhtarian?
We'll go with that.
My best
TJ, TJ, who's your mama?
We'll go with that one, right? Zach Otto defeats Kunimoto, and of course, JJ Aldridge defeated Gion. Pro, let's go from the top, working our way down. Of course, Mark Hunt defeats, no relation to Mike, defeats Derek Lewis, TKO in the fourth. What was your take on that?
I was very surprised that it got out of the first. That's for sure. Secondly, a couple of weeks back, Pam was complaining about running. I think we saw more of a display of running in this fight than we did in the UFC. Sweden. Sorry, my brain is not working yet, Tony. I had two cups of coffee, still not working.
Way to go.
But yeah, I mean, I think this was a kind of a fight where the Derek Lewis's corner could have thrown that towel in and saved him a little bit of face, Tony, how I thought of it.
Pranos, do you think it was more of I was shocked the way the fight ended, and I think it was just
– yeah.
I think he just ran out of gas, right, in my opinion, because I thought he was winning the fight, to be frank. But do you think it was just one of those things, Prados, where it was kind of like the Dada 5000 thing where he was just gassed? And, I mean, it was a mercy stop because I don't think he was getting hit.
Yeah, I think Mark Goddard did a great job in the, officiating this bout, not only with the stoppage, but like controlling the octagon with the eye pokes. I thought he did a very good job officiating. I had said on Wednesday's show, Smack My Picks Up Edition, that I was very concerned about Derek coming, having to travel so far. You know, we know that Derek doesn't like to travel. But he did, like you said, he did look very good at the beginning of the fight, being very, very explosive. And of course, as they mentioned on the broadcast, both of these guys are not lightweights. So carrying around that much weight, and I believe at one point, Derek Lewis tried some spinning shit. So he was very, very explosive in the first two rounds. And Tony, I found the fight to be very, very close in those first two rounds. You could give it to Lewis, or you could give it to Hunt. Either way, I think what really impeded Lewis's performance was the massive leg kicks that he was receiving from Mark Hunt. And of course, as we know, that's something you don't want to do. I think Derek took three or four, maybe even five leg kicks. And then all the body work, you know, that Mark Hunt was doing, you know, was started in the first two rounds going to the head, and then started working on the body once Derek Lewis's hands came down a bit. So really just a masterful fight by Mark. I thought on Wednesday I had also mentioned that I thought Mark's striking was going to be too much for Derek Lewis. And had Derek Lewis connected on one of them bombs, I mean, it could have been over, but he didn't. And, you know, Mark Hunt comes out looking like he's made of $1 million, you know, like a shiny penny.
Speaking of which, speaking of body, how about all the work that Misha Tate was doing? Nothing. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I saw her.
How about that? You thought she looked heavy, huh? I thought she looked fantastic.
I think that she has definitely been enjoying her retirement, you know, maybe living up to that nickname of hers. And I'm not throwing stones, just saying, looks a little bit different. Maybe it was the haircut.
Oh, yeah, I thought she looked great, Proteus. But when don't I think she looks great? Here's the thing. You hit the nail right on the head. Derek Lewis doesn't like to travel. He says he doesn't like to travel, and they're always sending him to to countries that are far off. I mean, maybe that's the only way that he can headline right now, but I had Hunt winning this, but I didn't see it going out of the first round, but simply because I thought that Derek Lewis hadn't had much of a break, so I thought he was fighting a little too often. I thought he looked good, Proteus, in the first 2.5 rounds. Hunt, of course, conserves his energy, doesn't really do much, kind of just plods along and absorbs hits or moves away. But yeah, I was actually, even though I had Hunt winning in the first, after it got out of the first, I thought Lewis was going to win somehow. But yeah, how about that? Mark Hunt defeats Derek Lewis TKO. Now let's go into this, Proteus, because this is going to be a pretty short show because we're really only covering the top three fights. But what does this do for Mark Hunt? And more importantly, what does this do for Lewis, who had an 8-fight win streak, I think?
Yeah, and I think, Tony, your concerns about Derek Lewis fighting very frequently are relevant. When you brought that up to me earlier before we came on the air, I thought, excellent, good point. What does it do for Lewis? I don't know, man. Another thing that was a kind of a concern is that he is getting married next week in Hawaii. So maybe that was one of the reasons why he chose to travel to the other side of the world, because he's basically going to get married halfway across the world. So what does it do for him? I don't think it does anything for him. I mean, he went up against Mark Hunt, who is not going to back down for anybody. I thought Mark looked really, really good. Like you said, staying focused, conserving his energy, allowing Derek to just, overexert himself and capitalized. And what does it do for Mark Hunt? Well, he says he's got 2 fights left on his contract and he wants to honor them. I don't see him stopping MMA if his contract does run out, or 2 or 3 fights, sorry. And he said he wants to get on the Japan card. I believe it was, he said, September. So, I just keep him busy. I mean, Mark Hunt is a top tenner, a perennial top tenner. I guess put him up against Cain Velasquez next. Wouldn't you like to see that? Is that a hashtag would watch?
That's definitely a hashtag would watch. My fear is, and listen, shout out to AKA. I'm a big fan of AKA. My fear is that Cain may not make it to the fight, and that's only because he's always injured. But it was a 6-fight win streak for Derek Lewis before losing to Mark Hunt with a salty, of course. I think what is he now? 13-11 now. I think Mark Hunt's professional MMA career. So yeah, how can you not like Mark Hunt? At the end of the fight, post fight press conference, he was there with his kid, and they were talking about eating McDonald's after the fight. So kudos to Mark Hunt. I like the guy.
Yeah, me too. Mark's always been a consummate professional. As you know, I've kind of been on the Mark Hunt train with this lawsuit as well that he's taken on for the UFC against the UFC and Dana White. So, yeah, always a cool dude, and always enjoy his interviews, especially when he wins, and when he wins 50K, you can just see the smile on his face, and yeah, man, we're gonna go. He was like, oh, we're gonna go to some other fast food place, and his son was like, no way, man, I want a Big Mac. So, yeah, kind of funny, and then his son gets up and walks in front of the camera, and he's like, hey, where are you going? I thought it was neat to see the family atmosphere that was happening there.
I think they should do that a little bit more often, but I think Dana's going to put the kibosh on that, of course, because he started talking about USADA.
Steroids? We're talking about steroids.
Right? Good Lord.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what ends up, of course, with Roy Nelson going, of course, to Bellator, and it'll be interesting because somehow I think that Mark Hunt is going to leave the UFC. Just anytime you have a lawsuit, I don't think that's good for anyone's relations, any way you want to look at it. Prados, let's get into this. Oh, and you mentioned this actually. Bonuses awarded, of course, $50,000, of course, to fight of the night, Mark Hunt versus Derek Lewis, and performance of the night, Dan Hooker versus Ben, who got the win. Prados, let's get into it. To the middleweight we go. Derek Brunson defeats, I think, everyone's kind of favorite, Dad Bod Dan Kelly, via TKO in the first, a minute 16 into it. What say you?
Yeah, I felt really bad for Dan Kelly. We had discussed this just a bit again before we came on the air, and I had been saying on Wednesday I was picking Dan Kelly because he just seems to be that guy that gets the win when you least expect him to get that win. And so I took him in this fight. And then, as I said to you earlier, as soon as the show started, as soon as this fight started, I instantly regretted my pick. And then I had, very quickly had gotten rid of the feeling bad about my pick because it was over. Really quick fight. Daniel Kelly taking a vicious knockout. Didn't really take out any extra damage, which is great. But hey, good valiant effort trying to go against, a very, very tough guy in Derek Bronson. And I liked a lot of the things that he was saying in the post-fight press conference. He's ready to go again, no injuries. And he's, the main criticism that we had against him stemming from the Robert Whittaker fight, Tony, if you remember, was that he tended to not take his time. He tended to get, stuck in trying to get that knockout, trying to get that title shot. And what he was saying in the press conference kind of, made me think, okay, this guy's growing as a fighter. He's thinking about what he's doing. You relive mistakes in your head time and time again. Like, he was talking about waking up and going, oh, man, that was just stupid. So great to see that he's going to focus more. And of course the camp changed, but I think his mindset is in the right place. So big things moving forward for Derek Bronson, I think.
How about that? And you hit the nail right on the head, right? Taking his time. We don't even know what he was doing against Robert Whittaker. Not that who knows, it may not have made a difference anyway, but who knows what he was doing against Robert Whittaker. Hey, just to close the door on this Lewis versus Hunt. I don't know if you got to see the Travis Brown Instagram, but I'm on MMA Junkie as always. Of course, shout out to the boys at MMA Junkie Radio. Travis Brown, did you read his Instagram post?
Yeah.
I read
the article also on Junkie. Yeah. Wow. These guys have been going back and forth. Sorry.
Anything on that? I mean, what do you think?
I just think it's two guys going back and forth. They're fighters. Lewis really came at Travis, after he beat him. And hey, again, that's another fight that I would like to see again. They've got bad blood. So, and I think Travis used every one of the 140 characteristics you can use on Twitter for this one. It's huge.
Instagram.
Anyways. Yeah. Oh, that's right. It's Instagram. Sorry, my bad. I don't really use Instagram, do you?
No, not. We have an account, but what are we going to post? Pictures of our mic?
My Amish beard?
That's right. You know what? Hashtag to the Amish, right? Shout out to the Amish.
You'll be happy to know that I was able to trim that today. No more Amish beard.
There you go. You know what's funny? I think we shouldn't have that Derek Lewis drop that. Ronda Rousey, where your fine ass self. I think we should have that drop somewhere around there. It's interesting. It's Derek Brunson, of course, defeats Dan Kelly. I like Derek Brunson, and of course, shout out to Derek Brunson, who's from Pam's neck of the woods. But I never want to watch Dan Kelly get killed like that first round. I think he was a little emotional after that, but good for Derek Brunson, right? Getting back. He mentioned being in the title picture again. I don't know about that, pro.
Maybe one or two fights. Daniel Kelly was probably served up, to him on a platter, and he was probably out there to make him look good, which he did. But we'd have to see what happens in his next fight. And hey, I'd be up to for him having a title shot, maybe getting that Anderson fight back, which he seems to want, and Anderson's looking for a fight, or maybe he's retired. We're not too sure what's going on there. So maybe they run that one back, Tony.
Yeah, speaking of fighter rankings, as I was literally just looking at the middleweight division, and we all know what a mess that is. But speaking of fighter rankings, my wife and I were watching, UFC Fight Night Auckland, and just to see the fact that they were showing the bantamweights, of course, next week, the beautiful Holly Holm will be fighting Betch Gohea How about that? Honda is still ranked number three. Proteus.
I saw that. What an embarrassment.
Bitch.
What an embarrassment that was. I saw that on the the broadcast. And then another one that stood out to me was the Ally Aquinta, where they were ranking him at 15 all of a sudden. I'm like, what the heck is going on? Yeah, I mean, Ronda Rousey shows up in one photo on Twitter. All of a sudden, she's still number three. Come on, man. That's ridiculous. We don't even know what's happening with Ronda Rousey. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, where is she? She's in movies. She's not coming back.
She's not coming back, but I think it's order. And I think that's one of those publicity things, right? Just to keep her sort of in the eyes of the people. Because if you look at, of course, you should only look at the USA Today rankings made by Gorgeous George and Goes, but by Gorgeous George, forgive me. But if you just look at the rankings, right? I mean, it's just, I mean, the women's bantamweight, and we're going off on a tangent here, but Nunes, Shevchenko, Pena, Rousey, Pennington is ranked fourth. I mean, Holly Holm is ranked fifth with three straight losses. I mean, gosh.
Yeah. Division's not very thick, is it?
No. What happened to it? It was deep at one point. All right, let's move on. Speaking of Betch, Dan Hooker, of course, defeats Ross Pearson. I got nothing on that one.
Yeah, all right, hold on. Good.
There you go. By the way, Proteus, you ever find yourself, my wife does this to me all the time, where do you ever find yourself just in your everyday conversation, just doing our drops in conversation? I tend to always do, right? I mean, gosh. Anyway, speaking of Betch, Dan Hooker defeats Ross Pearson via vicious knee KO. I think you've heard me for at least a year now saying that Ross Pearson should hang it up, especially after seeing his beautiful spouse. But what say you about that? Dan Hooker defeats Ross Pearson.
Yeah, this was my spotlight fight of the night on the card because, like you said, we've had a lot of conversation about Ross Pearson and where he goes from here every time he gets a loss. And I was really interested to see how he looked coming out because for a long time there, he was just coming out, you know, plotting with his head and trying to lead with the sword, die with the sword, whatever. And with four straight losses now, kind of like you were saying, kind of maybe he should call it quits, but I thought he looked really good. I thought he looked improved. I thought he was trying to fight a smarter fight, still throwing some reckless abandon in there, but trying to be a smarter fighter, trying to choose his punches a lot better. And I mean, just Daniel Hooker, of course, looked fantastic moving up in weight from 45. Just showcasing, to me at least, how important it is for guys to fight at an appropriate weight. Don't drain yourselves to a point where your performance is affected the next day. And of course, there was the extra time in between the weigh-ins and the fight card. 48 hours, I believe, the fighters were given between the weigh-ins and the fight card, which Mark Hunt said was fantastic for him. And, you know, maybe that's the kind of thing we need to see moving forward a little bit more, Tony. And we can probably branch out to that later after we speak on these fights. But thought Ross looked improved. And I'm not willing to write him off. If the UFC wants to keep him, I see him still being a relevant fighter. I mean, not really ranked anymore, but kind of one of those tough guys that's always going to bring it. And if you listen to Dan Hooker's post-fight interview, he did say that. You know, he said, you know, Ross and I both were bringing it. We both stood in there to fight, you know, not to stay away from each other. And the way the sequence of this fight ended, Ross just didn't see it coming. You know what I mean? And it came out of nowhere, to be honest with you. What a beautiful knee. One thing that I did notice is how seemed like Ross Pearson had a fairly cheap mouth guard in his mouth. You'd think a guy that's of his status could get a better mouth guard, but I digress. Beautiful, beautiful performance. And like, to speak of that mouth guard, just watching it fly through the air and and bounce off the canvas, followed by Ross Pearson's head. I thought, wow, just an incredible scene of violence. Great, great job by Dan Hooker. Looks wonderful at the weight. And of course, you know, kind of tall and lanky. So always trying to get on my team, those guys are, the Proteus's guys. So Dan Hooker, you're doing a good job right now, man.
And the funny thing is, though, I mean, seeing the camera angle where that shows his wife putting her hands, you know, to her mouth, literally after seeing that vicious knee. I mean, that's got to tug on you because, I mean, clearly, you know, that's her husband that's getting KO'd viciously. Here's the thing, though, Proteus. If you start looking at and Ross Pearson, he's 19-14 and 1 in MMA. And four straight losses, and one can argue, hey, listen, there have all been decision losses, but he's taken, if you even just look at that thing alone, the fact that he's fought 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 straight fights, going all 15 rounds, losing the majority of those. He beat Paul Felder, which I actually thought should have gone the other way. He beat, of course, Chad Laprise. But just even looking at some of the losses, the TKO losses, et cetera, this man has taken a lot of punishment, and he has a brand new gym. I don't know, at that kind of salty record, I mean, listen, if I was fighting, I'd probably be 0-14. I'll be the first one to tell you that. But at 19-14, and I've said this on our show many times, Proteus, when you have multi-digit losses, I think you fought one, at least once too many, in my opinion. So I know to each their own, but I thought, gosh, I thought that was a pretty, pretty, pretty brutal finish. Obviously, that was your spotlight fight of the
night.
No, go ahead, Proteus. Sorry.
No, so I was just going to say, obviously, you're right about the amount of damage that Ross Pearson has taken. But as I mentioned earlier, I'm not ready to retire him. Maybe it's just because I've been following him since his Ultimate Fighter days, and it's just kind of one of those guys that stood out to me or for me. I know I don't like to cheer for guys. I'm not really trying to be a fan anymore, but you know, it's always a guy that has, you know, stuck out to me, and I just wanted to see his progression and see where he's going. And like I said, I find him very improved, and I agree with you. His brain, we probably need to consider his brain. Like I said, if the UFC doesn't want to keep him anymore, that's fine. I'm sure he'll be able to find work in Bellator, where maybe the guys might be a bigger fish in that pond, is what I'm trying to say.
Just out of curiosity.
Sorry, I interrupted you saying something.
No. That's good. You know me, I'm always ranting and raving. Just out of curiosity, I know that you're a fan of John Good, and I'm not. I do like Dan Hardy's work that he does. But what'd you think of the commentary with John Gooden and the real American, Brian Stann?
I was impressed, and I know you don't like John Gooden, but I thought that the two of them worked really well together. And as I've mentioned on this show, I don't like to have the volume up a lot on when I'm watching fights. But I thought the two of them worked really, really well together. Again, because I am a fan of John, and I'd like to see him more in the rotation, because I think he knows fighting. I think he knows how to do his job and how to stay out of the way when he needs to and how to get in there when he needs to. There were a couple of times I thought where Brian Stann kind of didn't have anything to say, and John would just jump right in there with something, you know, pertinent to the fight or relevant to the fight. I mean, that's pretty much the same thing. But I thought he did a great job, and I like the British accent. I really do. I have an affinity for the British accent. A couple of the podcasts that I listen to are out of Britain, and you know, some of them have kind of a heavy accent, but I enjoy it. Sorry.
No, I actually love the British accent, especially on you know, Kate Winslet, but and Kate Beckinsale.
Yep.
I don't know. Something about his voice just doesn't resonate with me. It's not the accent at all. I had a girlfriend once that was British, so the accent I love. I just don't. It just doesn't resonate. I don't know. Something about his voice could be his pitch. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe if you get to know him a little bit more, follow him on Twitter, see how hardworking he is. I mean, this is a guy who, after taking the UFC job, really focused and tried to get into shape to, you know, run marathons. And I mean, maybe it's the kind healthy eating and vegan connection that I share with him as well. That I'm not a vegan, but I try to eat healthy because I don't believe I could live my life without eggs and cheese. But other than that, you know, I don't know. I just like him. So he's a very interesting dude and, you know, very hardworking. Likes to watch the MMA Hour in the bath.
Let's talk about this. So obviously you and I were chatting about this, how the undercard was kind of, you know, maybe it was maybe not as exciting to watch going up against when you go Jamel versus Dominic Steele. Then it really started picking up, right, with Go to Hell Pichel, or I forgot what his nickname is, versus Damian Brown. What is it, From Hell?
That's right.
And of course, you know, that ended in the first. Then the Hirota fight, of course, went to three rounds. Three straight finishes, one, two, three, four, five straight finishes to the very end. Any fights that stood out to you, Proteus, the in this card?
We had discussed the kind of the pacing of the fight card before we got on the air. But to be truthful, I came into the card at the Jamel Steele fight. I had a social event that I had to attend earlier in the evening. And the quick finishes did not hurt the card, you know what I mean? Other than the fact that we're on national television and we have to fill, you know, we have to fill a certain amount of time. So we can't just blaze through it like we would in a pay-per-view. But like I was saying, that Steele, the Jamel Steele fight, I thought was very interesting because one, I had never heard of him. Luke Jamel, and two, I thought he looked fairly impressive in a decision win over Dominic Steele, who, you know, is a name that we recognize as being a tough fighter. I just thought great performance there for sure. I don't know if you want to add something onto that real quick before I move on to another fight that I thought was great.
No, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm moving up to the Pichel fight, as you pointed out to me, fairly quick fight, but you know, I did blink for a minute and I missed the knockout. And the one thing that I was concerned, well, that I was pissed off about, it took them like a minute and a half until they had the replay going up because I missed it. I was what the fuck happened? Sorry. Excuse my language. Sorry, sir.
It did take a while. You're right. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, and the only reason I noticed it was because I didn't see the knockout. I was, I don't know, taking a sip of my beer or something or talking to my wife, and boom, it was over. And as my wife had said, I've never even heard of this Pichel guy, but because I had mentioned that I enjoyed the From Hell Pichel, I just thought that's kind of like the best nickname into your last name combo that I've heard in a while. And yeah, impressive knockout. Good to see him back in the sport. We'll see what he's got moving forward, man. You know what I mean? Getting thrown into that division is not an easy thing, you know. So we'll see if his time off, if he can rebound from his time off and continue to win. Do you have anything to say about this one, Tony, before I move on?
Continue to Ben win?
I'm actually going to talk about the Hirota fight because I thought Hirota.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. I got crickets on.
Unless you want to comment on them.
Continue to win, then win. No, yeah. Never mind. We move on. Okay. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah. Hey, man, look, I thought Hirota in this next fight against Alexander Volkanovski looked impressive. And I mean, that chin that he's got on him is incredible. I thought he was going to get knocked out a couple of times and, you know, just kept coming back. There was one time he, you know, fell against the fence and somehow got back up and continued to fight. And I think my wife was concerned at one point in this fight that it should have been stopped, but I was glad they didn't stop it because the action was really, really good after that, after, you know, what was a dominating sequence for Volkanovski. I thought, pretty good fight, man. I enjoyed it, and I'd like to see both of these guys fight again. Tony?
Yeah, that's funny that you said that, that your wife actually said it should have been stopped. My wife said the same thing. She didn't, you know, it's, he does have a very, very good chin, Hirota, but boy, I'll tell you, I think he may have taken some years off his fights, off his fighting career, because boy, he was really getting tagged, right? I mean, he really was getting tagged, yeah. And it's, I mean, man, I'll tell you, I mean, at 36 years old, obviously has been fighting pretty well. I mean, if you look at his last six, I mean, he's 4-1-1. I mean, literally, and before that, of course, three straight losses. But boy, it just looks like he takes a lot of punishment. You know, I think his nickname is the Pug, and his face might start looking like a pug. The Pug Prince, I think, is his nickname. But yes, he was really getting tagged, Proteus. He was really getting tagged.
Yeah, he definitely was, and the amount of heart that he showed, or the stupidity to stay in there, or the hard-headedness, whatever it is you want to call it, made for a really good fight, and made Volkanovski, you know, reach down deep and to get the win, and he didn't manage to get him out of there, but good impressive look at both of them, and so maybe some time off for Hirota is in order, and I'm sure he's going to get suspended for a bit. Without being able to do any sparring for quite a while after this one.
A lot of medical suspensions, I'm assuming, will be held after this card. Speaking of which, you know what? This is a good segue and perhaps a good little topic to broach on Wednesday. Smack My Pick picks up. Do you have a nickname? I wonder if anybody has nicknames, because you were saying Go to Hell Pichel or Straight Out of Hell or wherever he's – what's his nickname?
Straight Out from Hell Pichel, yep.
Yeah, I mean, what did I say, Go to Hell? Straight Out of Hell or From Hell Pichel. Do you have a nickname? I'm curious. Did you have one
Proteus,
as a kid?
Proteus is my nickname. No, well, right now Proteus is my nickname. Right, which is how you should get nicknames, right? And not you shouldn't do them to yourself.
I think the one that my wife gave me was Jacket, so I'm not sure we can use that one on here.
Oh boy!
Yeah, that one.
But back in the day, Tony, back in the day, my brothers used to call me Vern. You remember from those movies? The Ernest movies?
That's a good drop. Know what I mean, Vern?
Yeah,
that's a good drop. Yeah. Damn it, that's a good drop. Hold on.
So I kind of morphed that name. I used to call myself Vernilla, and you want to know why?
Oh, that's a good Vernilla Ice.
You want to know why?
No, yeah, of course.
Because
what is it?
It's the girl's favorite flavor. I used to be a very confident person when I was younger.
That's a really good girl's favorite flavor.
That's exactly what I did to your mother, buddy.
That's right.
Anyways,
if you were a fighter, what would your nickname be?
I'd probably just go with Proteus. Everybody that I meet, even James Lynch, when I met him, I mean, they just call me Proteus now. So that would probably be my name. But I'm not very good at those kinds of things. That's why I was so impressed by the From Hell Pichel. It just went so smoothly. I don't know. I guess I would just go with Proteus. How about you?
Maybe Tony the Tiger or Tony Always Goes Down.
Excuse me, bitch.
Oh, no.
Not that one. Never mind.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Okay. Yeah, forget that one. Any other fights that you want to talk about on this card?
Well, other than the Elliott Wynn Ben Wynn fight, no, I'm good. And by the way, I think Ben Wynn should change his nickname to like the English way of spelling Wynn. Ben Wynn. Wynn. You know, you could
Ben Wynn, baby Wynn. That's a good Ben Wynn, baby.
That'd be even
Wynn,
better.
Baby. How about that? You know, us always come up with stuff that no one cares about, right?
Right. All right.
we're running out of stuff to talk about, but let's talk about one thing, Dad. You and I were talking about this as the fight card kept going on, and obviously this was a FS1 card, so they have to fill in that time, just like they have to do with the UFC on Fox cards. And they kept running that Hunt, trailer over. I have to be careful when I say Hunt, right? So it doesn't get close to see next Tuesday, right? But as they kept running that Hunt Lewis card, were you wondering or pondering why they weren't running more of the home versus Kohea trailer, or maybe I know they ran it once, the Chiesa versus Kevin Lee, or as my boy Big Brown likes to call Michael Chiesa, Chizo, Michael Chizo. Not joking. He called him Michael Chizo. were you surprised that they weren't pushing that fight pass card?
Next week's card.
I'm shocked.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that did surprise me is, look, they weren't pushing the card for next week, but they were indeed pushing Fight Pass, which I thought was,
that's
kind
true.
Of a way to promote that fight. Or, I thought the commercial was pretty good. Whoever came up with it, I thought the commercial was pretty good. Didn't make me want to purchase Fight Pass at all yet. But as soon as they start putting the pay-per-views on Fight Pass, maybe I'll consider it. Other than that, I'm not too interested. But I don't know how much there is to sell. I mean, like you said, Holly Holm coming off three losses. Betch Kohea, not really a huge name anywhere other than Brazil, maybe. It's not really a huge card. We were discussing it earlier. I mean, not really a huge card, so I don't know what there is to. Not really a lot of big names. I mean, like you said, we have a former 155 champ moving up to 170. That's something you could sell, maybe. I mean, I don't know, Tony. I don't know what's going on with the UFC nowadays. We got Dana White going out there, saying bad things about Demetrius Johnson, saying that Conor McGregor is the freaking number one pound for pound fighter who's not even fighting in his organization right now. He wants a boxing match. I don't know, Tony. But I thought they could have filled that time a little bit better. Maybe they could have showed or re-aired some fights from earlier on in the evening, maybe from the undercard, or maybe that Fight Pass prelim. I don't know. Maybe they could have done that. But to be honest with you, Tony, as I said, I had gone to a social event before I got to the fights, and the one saving grace was that there was a lot of great performances. As I said, a lot of brain injuries happening on this fight card at the top. So that saved it. But then the time in between, just dragging the commercials and, Brian Stann having to fill and talk about certain things. It was just, I'll be honest with you, I fell asleep before the main event. But I did manage to rewatch that fight so that I could talk about it, because it's just so long. I mean, and they have to fulfill all of that time, right, Tony? They can't just not put things on there because we're going on national television here. So, yeah, anyways, long-winded answer there, but they could have filled the time better, I thought.
Boy, Pam was right on that Twitter rant that she gave in terms of, gosh, Dana White, please get off McGregor's you-know-what, because, gosh. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, you guys spoke a lot about this, so no need to really get into it. But, Dana White allegedly saying that they're just going to shut off the flyweight division. I think you guys would think I'm crazy, but I'm like, okay, fine. I don't care. I mean, I don't get excited about those fights anyway. I mean, no offense to, all the great fighters that are on there, perhaps the best pound for pound fighter on there, but that division doesn't do much for me. I mean, I think abolishing it is just ridiculous, but it's not a very strong division. Bantamweight, of course, probably being the weight, the best. As we kill 5 minutes here before we get off, in your eyes, what are the best divisions right now? Like, if you were to name the top three deepest divisions, or even just the divisions that you care about in the UFC, what are they?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we've talked about this before, but my opinion on it doesn't change. I mean, at 170, Men's division is obviously welterweight is very strong, especially if we are going to add in, you know, Georges St. Pierre in the near future, which, as I mentioned already, I don't think that he needs to do just at this time. Obviously, 155 men's division is stacked. Where it's at as well. Even though we have this BS going on at the top with the champion who has yet to defend any of his title belts, going even back when he was not in the UFC, I don't believe he's defended those belts at all. I know he hasn't defended either of the ones that he's won in the UFC. And of course, I think 35, men's 135 division is definitely heating up. And I think that's the one reason why the UFC wants to have Demetrius Johnson fight TJ. You know, that's probably why they want to do that, because, you know, the 135 division is getting some kind of recognition, maybe more in the hardcores. Again, I don't understand why we need to have them fight to get DJ and TJ fight. I'm very happy that Demetrius Johnson doesn't want to do it unless they're going to pay him what he deserves. It's just crazy where the UFC is going. I know we've ranted on this before, but I talked about this with Dave Madden, you know, the other day, just the UFC going more towards, you know, entertainment and, you know, trying to cater to that casual fan that is not interested in the massive amounts of pay-per-view, or not only pay-per-views, but like regular events that the UFC are now holding. You know, the question is, are you just running too many events right now? Probably yep. They are. Probably the market is too saturated with UFC content, but they've oversold themselves and they've got all these fighters that they're contractually required to give 3 fights to a year. So yeah, Tony, it's I don't know what to call it, but it's very concerning for me. I am fairly concerned with this whole what looks like desperation to just make yep. that big money like they were making off of Ronda and Connor. And I think that's why we're gonna see this Mayweather fight eventually, even though you've got established boxers coming out and saying, how is this fight even going to get sanctioned? And it's all money. I mean, I've had this conversation before on the show, and I apologize. I'm very much ranting right now. But it blows my mind that this fight with a professional boxer who is 49-0 would fight a boxer with a 0-0 record. Blows my effing mind, and just shows the corruption that we are dealing with these athletic commissions, especially Nevada. It's a joke.
No, you're absolutely right, Pro. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But, you know, if you're looking at the deep divisions, you know, I mean, the lightweight division is pretty stacked. But I think you missed the most stacked one of all. I mean, look at the women's featherweight division.
Oh. I knew you were going to go there. Hilarious.
I'm looking at these rankings, Pro. Women's bantamweight, Amanda Nunes. Shout out to those that know the Friends show. If you get that, Amanda. Yeah. We need that. I know Pam's going to kill us on that one. But let's look. I mean, there's still no rankings in the women's featherweight. Why even have that? Oh, good.
Excuse me, bitch.
That's right. Yeah. All right, Proteus, let's get the heck out of here. Of course, we try to do. I've honestly have strep throat, so I haven't been able to do the MMA minute. Apparently, there's a few MMA minutes now, so someone has taken my little spot there. But so I'll continue to do it whenever I can. In terms of that, of course, Wednesday, smack my bitch up. What am I saying? Hold on, wait a second.
That's perfect.
Excuse me, bitch.
We're getting way off that. Oh man, that was a song. Wednesdays, of course, smack my picks up. Thursday nights, of course, Proteus is prime time. You know, let's try to add. We'll see. I mean, I think we've been swamped ourselves, but let's see if we can add or do something different, of course. And of course, Sunday, of course, this week in MMA. Proteus, let's get the heck out of here. just out of curiosity, because, you know, we haven't done this in a while. I mean, where's our clothes? Boy, it's been that long that we've done the show, right? It's been a while, because we did the last Sunday show was our fight campaign. That was kind of right. Fun, actually. All right, Proteus, let's
fun.
Get that.
I'd like to do it again.
I know, right?
Yes, sir.
You have a Twitter follow of the week.
Twitter follow of the week has to go out to my boy at the Happy Pair. Of course, you know I'm all about healthy eating. I was talking about it earlier on today. If you need some recipes that are quick and easy, check them out. They've been doing a series of videos lately that are, you know, how to cook and prepare meals for your week. Very, very easy. Takes an hour. Check it out at the Happy Pair.
Wow. All right. Spell that out. What is it?
At THEHAPPYPEAR, as in the fruit. The Happy Pair.
Oh, wow. All right. So shout out to at the Happy Pair. My Twitter follow of the week, and I apologize to Misha Tate as we ran long, so we ran out of time.
Yeah.
My Hard Twitter Misha. Follow of the week, right, at Misha Tate. I'm not going to cue the music right now, but I'll edit that in. Cue the music for my lovely Misha Tate. Good Lord. Proteus, let's get the heck out of here. Follow us at Another MMA Cast. Follow Proteus at Proeos. He purposely misspells it. Follow me at I'm DJ Tony, the deep thing of DJs. Proteus, let's get the heck out of here.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Mixed.